Thank you so much for that special music. It's been a while since I've spoken to you from the pulpit. I seem to do a lot of talking, whether I'm in the pulpit or not. But we're glad you're here today. And I believe this is a special day. The Lord's Day that's been set aside to worship Him. Believe every one of those are special days. I think sometimes we get so busy living our lives that we forget that the Lord's Day always should be a special day. I know I do, get running around and doing all these things. But as we stand right on the edge of 2013, I am reminded of what they said was going to happen in the year 2000, and that all the computers were going to go broke and die and we were going to be in terrible shape. And then I'm reminded of the Mayan calendar that said that the world was going to end in 2012. And I thought about how much sense that made. I don't want to make fun of anyone, but the scripture says that no one knows when it's all going to come to an end. And not even the angels in heaven, only God the Father. And in light of that, I kind of thought about the Mayan calendar, and I thought, well, now those people have disappeared from the face of the earth several hundred years ago, and we're looking at their calendar to tell us what our lives are going to be like today. Or you see, there's one greater than any predictor, and that's our Heavenly Father, and He knows exactly what's going to happen and when. And even better than that, He's got it planned and has had for a long, long time. I'd like to share some thoughts with you from Joshua, the 24th chapter, beginning with the 14th verse. Joshua was coming to the close of his life. He'd been a great leader. He'd led the children of Israel in the land of Canaan as they took the country God had promised to them. And so this great leader, now as he faces, with his knowledge, the closing of his life, shared this with the children of Israel. Now fear the Lord and serve Him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your forefathers' worship beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, I'm going to paraphrase that a little bit and say, but as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God Himself who brought us out and our fathers up out of Egypt from that land of slavery, and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us all our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites, who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because He is our God. Father, we ask your blessings today on the reading of the Holy Scriptures. in the name of Christ the Lord. Amen. What's your plans for this next year? Seems that we're quite fascinated with time. How many times will you look at your watch before I finish preaching today? I hope not too many of you will have that opportunity. Some of you have made resolutions about this new year, haven't you? Seems that people in the past used to make a lot of resolutions, and resolutions passed almost as quickly as New Year's Day did. Do you have some sense that the clock is ticking? The older I get, I hear the clock ticking louder all the time. Don't know why that's true. My ears, I don't think I'm hearing any better than I've heard over the years past. Maybe not quite as good, but at the same time, the clock is ticking. Life is moving swiftly by. What are we doing with our lives? I submit to you today that the children of Israel were at the point of making some decisions as Joshua spoke to them. I submit to you today also that some of you are making decisions about what you will do with your life in this upcoming year, who you will serve, and how you will serve Him. I like to believe that I'm going to serve the Lord of life, the Lord God Himself, who created all that we see around us. The threshold of 2013. We've come to a time to make decisions. Joshua reminded the people of all of the good things that God had done for them. I think he told them about the rocks that he told the 12 heads of the tribes to pick up in the middle of the Jordan River when it went dry before they crossed over. You guys remember that pile of rocks back there? God dried that old river up, and you walked right through on dry ground. You marched around Jericho, and at the shout that God told you to make, the walls come tumbling down into a big crumpled pile. But even more than that, he reminded them of God's faithfulness in these first 13 verses of this chapter. He assembled the people together and told them in this closing chapter of the book of Joshua. He was God's chosen leader. God picked him. And you know, I believe God has picked spiritual leaders for us. For where we want to go in this year of 2013. God had been with them throughout the conquest of Canaan. Now, I can't imagine. I've carried a rifle and wore a uniform, but I cannot imagine fighting all the battles that they fought with swords and shields. And oh yes, one thing I forgot, the victories that God gave them when they didn't have to fight at all. The victories that they had had where not one man was lost in battle because God was with them. I like to recount the ideas of what God is doing among his people and his plans for his chosen people. And so as Joshua comes to the end of life, he realized that things are coming to a close. And so with his final words, he shares with them what God has done. Can you imagine ladies wearing the same dress for 40 years? Can you imagine wearing the same pair of shoes for 40 years? Their shoes didn't wear out. Their clothing did not come apart for 40 years while God led them through the wilderness and toward the Canaan land. Now, I can see some of you looking in the mirror today and say, this old rag, I've had it on for 40 years. I don't think they had high heels then, ladies, so you wouldn't have had to worry about that. But God did some miraculous things as he led them and brought them toward the goal in the land of Canaan. He reminded them about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. God's leadership through Moses. That's been part of my Bible reading here in the last few weeks. And I don't like snakes. But God told Moses to throw down his rod. And it became a snake right there in the middle of everything. He said, now go pick him up. That throwing the rod down would have been easy for me. Picking the snake up would have been quite a bit harder. But these were miracles that God wrought to show that his power was working among the children of Israel. And all of the areas of God's leading and the things that he done and the plagues that came on the Egyptians when they refused to let the children of Israel go. God was busy taking care of his people. And I believe 2013, God's going to be busy taking care of his people. I believe he's got a plan. Ladies, you won't have to wear your clothes for 40 years. You won't have to wear the same shoes for 40 years, but I believe that God has a spiritual covering for you that will last throughout your lifetime. I believe that God has a plan that is so good that it's infallible for this next year. But as Joshua shared all of these things with him, he said, now it's time for you to make a decision. It's time for you to make a choice. I love Joshua's answer. I don't know what you guys are going to do, but as for me and my family, we're going to serve the Lord. And so I can't answer for you today, but it's my prayer that you have already committed yourself to serve the Lord Jesus Christ during this upcoming year. You see, Joshua's question demanded an answer. This is not my question today, this is the Lord's question. And he demands an answer. There was going to be a change of leadership, and their decision was important. They made a commitment and said, we will serve the Lord. You ever stop to think about how much easier it is to make a verbal commitment or to make a verbal assent to something that you believe than it is to carry out the commitment to do what you have given your word to carry out? How many times have you said yes, but in the end, you did nothing about saying yes? Heart dedication and full commitment is so much different than saying yes. Because heart commitment demands that you do something about saying yes. It's easy to sit in the pew and say, yes, I'll do that. It's easy to sit in the pew and say, yes, that's my idea. But you know, out there where the rubber meets the road, it's not like sitting in the pew. Because there are worshipers all around you that you feel like have made the same commitment you've made when you're sitting in the pew. But when you're out there by yourself, heart dedication is the only thing that will carry you forward to do what you have said. Yes, I will do that. Yes, I will follow you, Lord. Scripture's full of decision makers. The prodigal son. That story is found in Luke, the 15th chapter, verses 11 through 20. And if I get through before you start looking at your watches, I'm not going to read that scripture. I'm going to let you read it. He left home. Had a lot of money with him when he left home. But the scripture says he squandered it. And the NIV version says he squandered it in wild living. I don't know what all that entails, but I have some vague notion of what wild living may have meant in that day. But after all of his money was gone, and he didn't have anything to eat, he kind of began to think back about what had happened to him. He was at a decision point. Now, when you're eating slop with the pigs, or you're tempted to eat slop with the pigs, I'd say that would have a little more influence on your decision making than just being at the point of being comfortable and making a decision. The scripture says he was tempted to eat with the pigs, and you know that Jewish people don't have anything to do with pigs at all, period. They were the filthiest, most degrading type animal you could possibly be around. But during that time, as he looked at that good-looking slop in the pig trough, how many of you ever made slop for pigs? Oh, several of you have. Put the bran and the shorts and everything in a bucket, and then you poured in all the stuff that come off of the table, the scraps. And those pigs would jump in that trough and just eat it up. And now I've looked at several buckets of that, and none of it ever had any appeal to me at all. I wasn't tempted to eat any part of it. In fact, the sooner I could get it to the pig trough and dump it in, the better off I felt. But life had lost its meaning for this young man. He was ashamed. He felt unworthy to return to the Father. But he swallowed his pride and headed home. Not as a son. He said, I'll go back and be a servant. Because even the servants at Dad's house are better off than I am. But you know a great part of that story? The dad was looking down the road that he had to come back on. The scripture tells us he was a great way off. And the father ran and wrapped his arms around him and welcomed him home. You've heard the story of the prodigal son probably preached by more preachers than I've heard it by. But when the father wrapped his loving arms around him, his choice was to leave the life of sin and come home. He was at a point of decision in the pig pen, and he decided to go home to the Father. Solomon struggled with life's meaning. In Ecclesiastes, the first chapter in verse 14, he said, I have seen all things that are done under the sun. All of them are meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Then a little further over in the second chapter, verses 1 through 16, he went through all of the material things that he had. He said, man, I've had it all. And it's all meaningless. Solomon was at the point of making a decision. He said, these things really don't mean very much at all. He owned flocks and houses and vineyards and treasures. All were vain and meaningless. You know Solomon's one mistake? He made a decision to go to Egypt and buy horses when God said, don't ever buy horses in Egypt. Oh, he made other mistakes after that. But going back down to Egypt, he came back in contact with the world. I pray that Solomon made some good decisions before his life passed from the scene. But the records we have say that he followed after other gods when he was at a decision point. I'm not here to criticize him this morning. I'm simply saying that there are decisions to be made. Paul made a decision. Paul's status in life was among the privileged. His life was first class. He had an influential family. But there was something missing for Paul. Even though he was pretty well set, had financial means, he was even a religious leader. But on the road to Damascus, a great light shined on him. And when Paul got up, from being blinded by that light, he had made a decision to go with the Lord. I'd like to say everything went just great for Paul from that point on, but Paul's life was turned upside down. Spiritually, he made a great decision. Financially, materially, his life was turned upside down, and he spent the closing days of his life in a Roman prison, waiting to be beheaded for his faith in Jesus Christ. In Philippians, the third chapter, he talks about the changes that he made in his life to go with the Lord. Ephesians 3, beginning with the third verse, he said, "For it is we who are circumcision, we who worship the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But whatever was in to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, who for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Jesus Christ. The righteousness that comes from God is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death." What a tremendous testimony that Paul had. The things that he had built his life around in the early days, he considered rubbish. And now his whole life was constructed around his Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Paul made a decision on the road to Damascus. The threshold was open before him. He could have chosen whatever he wanted to, but he chose to go with Jesus. I submit to you today, there's a gate in front of you that's Mark 20:13 in large letters. And you're going to make a decision about what you want 2013 to mean in your life. I don't know what you have as far as material things are concerned. You see, I'm not preaching material things to you. I'm not preaching to you a nice house. I'm not preaching to you a comfortable living. I'm preaching to you Jesus Christ and his way of living for 2013. You may live in a shack. You may go hungry. Hopefully you won't. Hopefully the church people love you enough that if you get hungry, they'll help you. You see, that's what the church is all about. That's what our brothers and sisters are all about. Helping and loving and caring for one another. But it all comes, the reality comes through knowing Jesus Christ and how we care for those that surround us. So here we are. It's decision time for you and for me. Who we choose for life's choices. Who will we follow during the life that is ahead. Jesus had a very simple command for his disciples. Take up your cross daily and follow me. As Joshua stood before the children of Israel, he said, "Choose this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my family, we choose the Lord." And it's my prayer that you would say, with a heart commitment and not merely a yes in assent, but with a heart commitment, "As for me and my house, we will follow the Lord." How many of you looked at your watch already? I saw Dan's hand go up back there. God is so good. God loves and cares for you. Make your choice to go with Him. Make your decision to go with Him as you enter this new year. God bless you. Let's stand together. Stella, would you close with a word of prayer?